Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There's a great deal of fundraising going on all the time. They raised money for Hurricane Sandy. Now it's the Boston bombing situation. There's not enough money, supposedly, to help people. But what do you do when there is money to help people, and the people who need the help do not control that money or cannot access, shall we say, cannot get the money that they need? What do you do then? Now, we talk about stuff like this all the time on Inner Sight. A classic example is service dogs. If a person needs a service dog, if they try to get one through a traditional agency and they're turned down, how do they obtain the funds to help themselves? There's an example. And tonight is an example. Our subject tonight: where the hell is my damn aid? You know, that's the feeling that I would have if I were in an institution and I couldn't read things and I couldn't know what was going on and I needed help and I was supposed to have an aide to help me. They claim duplication of services. Well, that's not true, and we're going to find out tonight how it isn't true. And appropriately enough, we have one of our advocates on the show with us who is currently experiencing this as we speak, as we do this show. And again, we welcome Suzanne from her bed in the rehab place. I don't even know the name of the place. Something Hill. They ought to call it Hell. Cold Day in Hell. That's what they ought to call it. Anyway. Welcome to Inner Sight, a very brave woman. And
it's really challenging sometimes. Like right now, I almost had a fight right before the show. I said, always at 9 o'clock. I didn't want to fight with her, but like right at 9 o'clock, every single time, they want to help me with something. And I don't mind, it's for my own good. But yet, right at 9 o'clock, right when I'm about to do the show, they did it to me the other night, and now they're doing it to me. They changed my mattress, and I had to transfer.
They're trying to deter you from Inner Sight?
Yeah.
Is that what you think they're trying to do?
Well,
they'll never
know.
Do that. They'll never do that. We won't let them.
I said I'll do it in the wheelchair if I had to be uncomfortable.
We put them on notice for their information. We can do this show any hour of the day or night, so you're not going to stop
Inner
Sight. That's
true. No.
But you had a horrifying experience when the Hoyle lift broke.
You
could have been killed, to be honest.
Yeah.
You, if you'd have hit your head, you could have been killed.
Yeah, and the age
thank God
was 10, too.
You weren't.
Both of us,
the person,
she was 10,
yeah.
And I was, and luckily there was another aide in the room, and without her and myself, I sacrificed my body for the next 2 feet down because the aide's arm was pinned against the wall with this heavy equipment, and she sacrificed herself by lowering me down slowly. Otherwise, I would have fallen 4 to 5 feet.
Yeah,
that's how high I was in the air.
But
at least I think my
example where you should have had your aide with you. And since the Hoyle lift is being used in this rehab center, an aide who's specially trained to use the Hoyle lift and to check it out to make sure that it's running properly, that it's safe,
They're also rated for your weight, and eyes. Of course, I'm visually impaired, and I couldn't see the weight rating at all on the lift. It was a scale lift.
Another reason why, you know, of course, well, the best thing is that you should be able to read these things on this equipment. You know,
right.
it should be so that everyone can read it, especially the disabled person. Just another example of negligence, you know, on the part of the people who make these things, and also the medical profession, who do not insist that these things are made so that it minimizes the stress on the person who's using it. The person can take a look at it and say, hey, this is not right, you know.
What I would like is something that doesn't need to be operated by two people because of, you know, just their policy, that is operated by just one person. And if you do have your aid could say, listen, all you need to do is hold her leg at home. I know she can do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
You know, she knows I can transfer.
Especially if the aid knows you, if they work with you regularly. You know, see, this is why it's so stupid to cut off the aid. I mean, look at the chance they're taking. And look what happened. God forbid, you know, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. You know?
Yeah, I mean, my bum still hurts, but that's beside the point.
So there's no duplication of services because these people are not as skilled, they're not as trained, you know. And how is that duplication of services? And I've been on the phone with you many, many times over the course of a week or so. When I've heard you trying to get somebody in there to help you, I think in one case you told me it took 2 hours for somebody to come in there.
Two and a half hours.
You know?
To use the facilities.
Your aide would have been right there with you. So where the hell is that duplication of services? That's not duplication of services. You know, it's a crime. It's a form of evil. And I've said this many times on Inner Sight, and I will continue to say it, because that's what it is to me. To rob someone of their movement, of what accessibility you have through the aid, you know, and that aid and you is like somebody with a service dog. How can you remove that from someone? You know, and expect them to function properly, you know. So we're going to have a good friend of mine, Brian Cruz, will be calling in shortly. And Brian has had some horrible experiences with this, and he's going to talk about that. But before we get back to this, let me recognize our sponsors so we can have more time, because this is a very, very important subject. Dr. David Gardner is a great dentist, a friend, and somebody who appreciates Inner Sight, somebody who supports Inner Sight. And if you need a great dentist, check him out. NorthshoreRID.com, and you can check his credentials and his testimonials. And here's the phone number, 516-484-6394. Call for an appointment. He'll explain everything to you. He will respect you. He will honor you. And he's a very caring person. He's a family man. Had his children on my television show, and they in their own beautiful way, testified that Daddy is a great dentist, that it didn't hurt when they went to him. So
he was cutie pies, too.
Yeah, Dr. Gardner does it all, from a cleaning to the most complicated surgery. 516 area code, 484-6394, NorthshoreRID.com for Dr. David Gardner. And if you want to feed your service dog, we got something good for you. Cornucopia Express, www.cornucopiaexpress.com. And you check that out. That's organic it comes in the can. You can feed your cat and or dog, so you don't have to buy two foods. And you got the superfood and the phyto food. You sprinkle it on top, which is, enhances the whole thing, and the antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, preventative proteins in there. So you dial 631-427-7479, Kent Cornucopia Express, and check it out. And mention Inner Sight, you'll get a free consultation with Dr. Broderick. So here's the number to get that free consultation. 631-427-7479. Inner Sight brought to you by Able News. Read Able News. Check it out. Go to ablenews.com. On and for and by the disabled, and columns written by experts, a personals column, which is pretty cool. You can put your code in there and meet the person of your dreams.
Frank had a personal experience.
Yeah, they boast about three marriages. So check out Able News. Go to ablenews.com, and we thank them for the ad. You can find our Inner Sight ad in there every month. ablenews.com. Get a subscription today. And don't forget about our cause for Corey. Yesterday, of course, was the anniversary of the death of Corey Foster. And we went to the vigil. We honored Corey, and we continue to do so. You know, so go to change.org, browse and sign, help us get that law passed, protect the child in the schools at the hands of staff members who shouldn't be there. Not every staff member is bad, but there are many of them who don't belong in these schools dealing with children. Change.org, browse and sign, and help us get that new law passed. You can see a copy of it on the Easter Seals website. Hey, don't forget about our Akita, BigEastAkitaRescue.net. Bear. And I'm proud and happy to announce that I got a call today from Jesse Taylor at the Japanese Embassy Consulate, General Consulate. And they are very happy about being a part of our press conference next month to praise and honor the Akita, and especially the Akita guide dog. So we're very happy to have them on board. We'll get you the more details as we finalize things with the press conference. It's going to be a very happy time, and I'm looking forward to it. And very proud of Winsong, who has done some great work as a guide dog. Here's the number if you want to adopt an Akita, 609-388-7004. The Akita lady, Joanne Diamond. Check out BigEastAkitaRescue.net and get the greatest dog on the planet. Adopt an Akita, 609, area code 388-7004. You know, if you went into a hospital and the hospital told you while you're in here, you cannot have use of your arms and your legs. Now, how stupid that would be, how absurd it would be, how against the law it would be, how criminal it would be. And yet, it's happening to millions of people all over this country in the sense that their aids are removed from them. You know, that they're not allowed to have the aid unless, of course, they can pay for it themselves. Now, why should they pay for it themselves when the money is there to pay for it?
Exactly.
That's duplication of services.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that? How do you deal with that on a daily basis?
I feel aggravated because I know my aid is a one-to-one, you know, scenario. And right. It really frustrates me. And I know here I have to wait. It was 2.5 hours. Now, my husband said something foul. I'm not going to repeat it on the air. He said, just do blankety blank on off the side of the bed. So, so I was not, you know, pleased with that. I said, yeah, and who's going to leave it there? Of course, the person who comes in here. And I'm going to have to, you know, that's not right. You know, plus, it's not right. It's foul. I wouldn't do it, you know.
So you're frustrated, you're irritated, you're aggravated, you're disappointed, whatever word you want to use, which adds to
all of them. All of them
stress.
Apply.
All of them apply. The stress that you have to be feeling because you're struggling to get the simplest thing done because you're not permitted to have your aid there.
Right.
You know, the aid that is supposed to be there for you to make sure that you have the simplest thing done
right.
just the way anybody else would have it done. You know,
right.
who can move about freely, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the whole purpose.
I mean, here's the difference, okay? And let me explain this to individuals who don't experience this. Okay, right now my wheelchair has been placed, okay, against the wall. So I do not take it on my own like I did the other night, but I have a way of corralling it in and
right.
transfer. But the thing is that if I have to use it and for 2.5 hours, I, you know, they haven't come to me, I'm going to aim for it. You know, and if I fall,
I don't blame you.
It's going to be their fault.
You know, I don't blame you. I mean, so you have a wheelchair in your room?
Yes, right now it's right
Not your wheelchair, one that they gave you.
Yes, and it's very uncomfortable. Today I was in excruciating pain. I had to come back from therapy. Couldn't do any of my... I was doing my therapy, and tears were flowing down my eyes because I had no sleep the night before. I was in pain from falling. I was in pain from my original injury, which was of my knee. And I was just in pain. My neck was in pain from another injury. Basically, they should be watching me for falling, okay?
Yeah.
And my aide knows where my weaknesses are. Like, my left side is
my
weaker
somebody,
side.
Somebody gets to know you.
Right.
You know, you have
a
regular person.
A person who is in
a
hospital.
They get to know you. They know what you need before you even ask for it.
Exactly. Person who's in the hospital who, say, is in there for a standard, you know, procedure or something, but yet can walk to the bathroom, yet can walk to the nurse's station, yet can walk, period.
Yeah.
Or see, period, for that matter.
That's where you don't
have the challenge.
You don't have equality because you don't have the aid. You can walk in a different sense if your aid were there to help you safely get into that chair and move you down the hall or wherever it is you want
to
go.
These individuals, I'm not going to say something that is not true. They are properly trained, but they're not my aide who is used to me. That is the biggest of all difference, okay? My aide knows, you know, oh, her leg is spasming. You know, that means that, oh, she's unsafe, and I'm not going to, you know, transfer her right now. Let's wait and put pressure on her leg so that her leg stops spasming.
Yeah.
You know, these are the differences.
So the jackasses over there don't know that. Right?
They do, but they don't. They just, you know, they bring you over.
They do, but what like, they ignore you or
it's,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a, come on, let's go. Everything is let's go, let's go, let's go.
In other words, they don't ask you or they don't consult you before they want you to make a move.
Look
or
at
before
the time,
they...
look at the clock, and I can't see the clock in my room. Okay, I know where the clock generally is. Look at the clock. Look what time it is. I'm like,
look at the clock. Tell them to stick the clock up their ass. You know, I tell you, man. You know me. I don't pull any punches. You know?
No, I'm just laughing. I could see you sitting in
the
bed telling them that.
You know, if these people were real, if they were real healing, caring people, they would get on the damn phone. They would say, "Look, you know, get those aides over here, you know, and worry about the money later." That's what they would say.
Exactly.
That's what they would say. The hell with the money. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't work, if they didn't do it, they should be down the damn lobby of that place calling with a news conference saying, "We're trying to heal this person."
Mm-hmm.
And these idiots
that
are making it worse.
Woman, I'll tell you, that poor woman who took the brunt of my fall till this day is afraid to go get an x-ray, a simple x-ray.
Well, they got all these people brainwashed, you know.
Yeah, and I said,
"They got all these
people
brainwashed."
She said, "Why?" "Oh, it's not a big deal." I said, "But look at your arm. It's bruised all over the place." "Oh, it's okay. Look at that. It's okay."
We're trying to
get a phone call. We have actually Big Joe in the holding. And I just want to mention something. The Boston Marathon person has been captured. The fugitive.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Joe did their job. Denounce it.
You know, it would have been a lot better if they did their job better and prevented all this crap. Then I'd be impressed.
That's the truth. That would be
big deal. You know, it shows you that they can really do things when they want to.
That's the truth.
They could really do it. When they want to.
They could summons all.
So why don't they do it better? Why don't they prevent this crap from happening?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know what? Not enough people say that. Let me give the phone number. Inner Sight, area code 213-816-1650. We're hoping that Brian can call in. You know, Brian has spinal bifida and sometimes he has problems and we understand and appreciate that. So let's take what we have a call on the line?
Yes, we do. We have Big Joe.
Oh, we'll get Joe in on Inner Sight. Yes.
Hello there.
Yeah, how you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We got you.
Okay, great. Every time I try to talk to you, we're both on there, so I didn't know.
You're alive.
Yeah. Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
After the last couple of nights, I wonder. No, I wanted to bring that message out. I know you wouldn't care so much as far as we always say that things should be done beforehand rather than after. But, I mean, they had teams of, I mean, every form, every branch of every police department in the area.
Seriously.
Surrounding this one particular house where they found the guy on a
boat
that was hooked up to a trailer next to someone's house. And that only came from the woman in the house calling the police saying she saw a ladder against the boat that wasn't there previously.
Oh,
so,
my God.
You know, it took like 3 hours, 4 hours or so, but they finally took the guy alive and he's going to get treatment and then they're going, of course, find out what his problem is, if you know, if they could ever figure it out. But I wanted to get that message out for anyone that didn't have the news.
I'd like to see the cops protect us.
No, well, yeah.
That would be nice.
I'd like to see the cops go over to this place where Suzanne is and insist that she get her AIDS.
Well, I did something somewhat better than that.
Yeah, he did something pretty
I called the administrative office. I spoke to the assistant to the head administrator who was out of the office, and I had a very lengthy conversation with her about Suzanne and how they're treating her and how she needs a new bed because they switched her bed and it's still not working, how they made her wait 2.5 hours to use the restroom, how they keep telling her to look at things that she can't see. And the woman said to me, well, didn't her medical records come with her? I said, yes, medical records came with her, but they were the wrong records. They were outdated. They didn't get the right information. And she's had to fight for everything she's needed to get in this facility.
Didn't the idiot know that?
No, they don't know.
Why not?
These people don't know.
Isn't it her job to know it?
Well, they get the records. They're assuming that the hospital sent the right records over.
Yeah, right.
But they're assuming
she could see, too.
Yeah, but
the
this
moron.
Is not the first time that wrong records have been sent to these facilities.
Of course, that's why you got to check these things.
Right.
Yeah.
But I spent some time on the phone with her, and I told her all these things.
And we
that
do
going
have
on.
A caller, Frank. Let me just check and see who it
Wait a
is,
minute.
Okay?
Okay, Joe, thank you for that. Hang on. Do we have Brian coming on the line? Brian Cruz?
Yeah, let me just check and make sure it's Brian, okay? All right.
I
want to
get Brian in on this.
Well,
Brian?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
All right.
So,
hello, you're live on Inner Sight. Yes.
What?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Joe. Yes, yeah, so you called over there.
Yes. So I spoke to this woman, and by the time I was finished with her, she says, I wish I had a friend like you.
Okay, Brian's coming right through.
Wait a minute. You're more than a friend. You're an advocate. You're within a sight.
Oh, I explained that to her. I said I'm Suzanne's advocate as well as a good friend of hers. And
yeah.
I said if something is not done to improve the situation, there's going to be problems. So that's like I said, that's what she said. I wish I had a friend like you. I said a friend like me. I said why can't these things be done the way they're supposed to be done? You shouldn't need friends to get it done.
Yeah, I think we have Brian Cruz on the
yes,
line.
We do.
Brian!
Hey, Frank.
Hey, man, welcome to Inner Sight. It's a privilege and honor to have you on this show, man. Brings back old time, you know.
Someone's
yeah, it does. Really good to talk to you. And I'm happy you got your show going strong.
Yeah,
and,
we got over 41,000 archive listeners, so, you know, we're moving in the right direction, you know.
Excuse me,
there you
so
go.
I get
the word
on Brian's echoing.
There's a, Brian, may I ask you, do you happen to have our broadcast on in the background?
No.
Something
you don't have a speakerphone on, do you, Brian?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
You know, we're talking tonight about how the AIDS cannot be brought into the institution, either a hospital or a nursing home or a rehab place, as well you know because you've been through it personally. Tell us what happened to you, Brian.
Oh, I've been in the hospital so many times, and they wouldn't let me bring people in. And, you know, over the years, I fought and just told them that I was bringing someone in, but unfortunately, they couldn't be paid.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the whole rule system should be considered to be revamped because if you're given a certain amount of hours a day and you're disabled, when you're in the hospital, that's when you need them even more. That's when you need your help more because you're sick and you're laying in the bed. And when you're home and you're not sick and laying in the bed, you need them to be doing all kinds of things. And now it's even worse. And the nurses can't handle it. They can't come in. They don't have the staff for that. And they're not going to sit and even... I tell you, getting fed was ridiculous. They'd come in an hour after the food was there, and that's because they don't have the situation to do that. So they should look at the insurance situation and say, well, we say that we're paying twice if we let the aides in there, but it shouldn't be considered that way. It's a separate entire situation. People need their aides. That's why they have them in the first place.
Yeah, how about all the stress it puts on the disabled person because they don't have the aid, and the person is trying to get well, and they're deterred from that severely because now they don't have the simplest thing that they need, like you just said, like being fed. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's a real truth there, because whenever I'm there and I don't even go without anyone anymore. I just won't, because no one knows my needs. I'm trying to just do things my way because of my body, and they just want to move you. And you know, some of them are very nice, but they just can't understand and,
yeah,
and provide the kind of situation you need. Some of them are indignant and nasty, and
yeah.
One hospital forced me to not use my Hoyer lift, and they didn't have one, so they wanted me to lay on a bedpan, which I can't do. I was in a terrible car accident in 1985 on top of my muscular condition, and
yeah,
my body is just not what it was when I was 25 and I was in a bad car accident anyway. So they just don't worry about those implications. They just tell you what you can and cannot have. And then when I was in another hospital, they had no problem with me bringing in whatever equipment I needed. And they knew that I couldn't have the paid person in there. But they didn't care who was there with me 24 hours a day. If I had somebody to help me, they were fine with it. But obviously Medicaid would pay for it.
Yeah, you know, I said earlier, and it's worth repeating, I blame the administrators. I blame the doctors, who, especially the senior doctors, who head up some of these departments, for not insisting that people have their aids brought in and worry about the money later, you know, or even raise the money. The institution should raise the money. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
The minute that you're considered in the hospital, your Medicaid has to be notified,
mm-hmm,
so they stop paying, or you'll be in a court situation.
Right.
So the doctors don't really care, because that's politics and they're not involved with that. However, if you were to say that the person in question, their caliber of life quality and able to recover would be detrimental without the aid, you would say absolutely. Health
course. Suzanne is on the line with us. She's our advocate for people who are mentally disabled. She's currently in a rehab place, struggling because she doesn't have her aids. And she had an accident in which she could have been killed. The Hoyer lift broke, and one of the nurse's aides was actually pinned in the shower, and it was just a horrible, horrible thing to happen. And thank God she didn't hit her head.
Thank God my head in at the appropriate time, but I have one good arm left. I call it my only good arm, and it's not really that good. I call it my good arm. Anyway, it makes me feel good. I pulled the lift off the wall, and I released her arm because I saw it was, you know, as best I can, because I'm visually impaired. I saw that, you know, the shadow of her arm was there, and the shadow of the lift was pinning her. And she's going, oh, my arm, it's being crushed. And it really was being crushed. And I just, you know, pulled it off. And the other woman was pulling too, and pulled her arm from out of the lift. And I then fell 2 feet to the ground. But she broke my fall for, I'd say, a good 2 feet. So I would have fallen from 4 feet in the air.
And why don't you acknowledge the fact that you also wound up getting a bladder infection from the fall?
Yeah, it is.
All right. But, you know, now also that you told me that there's some kind of a gauge on the aid concerning weight that you cannot read.
Yeah, I can't read it. They're weight rated.
Yeah.
From what
now, that should be remedied. Everybody should be able to read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a scale Hoyer lift. It wasn't even a normal Hoyer lift. And the legs, from the shadow, from what I was seeing, kept closing. And I said, that doesn't look sturdy.
Wow, wow.
With my eyes, I'm saying this, and she says, well, I thought you couldn't see.
Nah, these people are so stupid.
I thought you couldn't see. And I said, I see shadow.
They would deny you, excuse me, they would deny you what little you have, the bastards.
Right, right.
You know?
So I thought you couldn't see.
They don't even understand. Excuse me. They don't even understand what the hell visual impairment is. How can they begin to help people?
Well, everyone thinks visual impairment means blind. And
exactly.
One person said, tells her to look at a clock across the room, which she can't see.
When
she says she can see something to a certain degree, they figure she can't see.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be duplication of services. These people are supposed to be trained. They're not trained. They're a bunch of jackasses. You know, and they don't belong in that place if they treat people like that.
Well, can I tell you, Frank, when I was both in the hospital and the nursing home that I was in for my illness, first of all, I'm, as you know, and Suzanne knows, my only disability is my sight. And my sight's not horrible. It's not great, but it's not horrible. I am legally blind. I went into the hospital, number one, they refused at the very beginning in the emergency room to let me go use the bathroom.
They wanted
me to use
You're blind, you can't take a piss?
They wanted
what the hell's that all
use,
about?
Well, they wanted me to use the bottle and the pen.
Yeah. They wanted to protect themselves, not you.
Because of my condition, and I was so overbloated, I could not use the bottle.
Yeah, right.
Because of not being able to.
But they didn't care about that.
Yeah, well, no. I even showed them. I said, listen, how am I supposed to negotiate this? So after fighting with them, they let me use the restroom, and they made me ring the buzzer when I wanted to go back to my stretcher. After three or four times of that, when I opened the door, they said, just go by yourself. You know where to go. they didn't want to bother with it. And then when I got to my room, it was the same thing. You're not getting out of that bed unless one of us is here to watch you. And, blah, blah, blah. And I was, of course, on medication, what I call the Lasix diet, if anyone knows what Lasix is.
I know what that is.
It's like liquid plumber. You know, to be nice about it. It's like liquid plumber. So,
Brian,
I mean,
are you still with us?
Yes, Frank, I'm here.
Good.
And
I
we also have
you
another call in the waiting. And
yeah, just
we have to get
but first, I have a question for Brian. Brian, what is the solution to all this horror? Can you give us any idea?
Changing the laws.
Changing the laws.
Yeah, you have to really get it into your congressman and your assemblyman and your senator and your governor to change the laws to allow Medicaid, a social program, to allow the payment of AIDS while you're in the hospital. It's only common sense that a person who cannot move around and has someone to do their to help their every need would need it, especially in the hospital. And they have to change the way they think and how they deliver services.
And Brian, what do you do if these officials are brain dead?
Well, you got to just keep pushing because ultimately There is no other way. You're not going to get social services to change their ways because they have always thought that we needed to be the disabled controlled and put regulations on us. That is what their idea of protection is.
Well, that's
and the kind of protection that they're talking about is not being sued.
That's because
why couldn't I drive around for 20 years with my AIDS? Because they were afraid I would get in an accident and sue the county. Now they have a waiver for that, and it all goes away because of common sense.
I think what we should do is, when the time is right, get a bunch of people together, like you and Suzanne and Regina and many other people, and hold a major news conference and let everybody tell their horror stories to the media. And maybe get some attention that way.
It's the squeaky wheel.
I think that's a major consideration that we ought to really think about seriously, and just put it on the Associated Press and say, come and hear the horror stories about hospitals.
Well, the
and
fear,
hope,
the sadness.
Hope that they, the fear, yeah. And hope
the fear.
That they come.
I mean, you're laying in a bed, and, you know, you can't move, you can't do anything.
Right.
You can't
right.
call the nurse, push a button sometimes. I can't.
Yeah.
Some people can. And
yeah.
even if they do come in once an hour, that's nothing.
And
that's
they have
okay.
an attitude.
I could choke to death in a minute.
Suzanne,
of course.
I could choke to death.
Far away from them.
We have another caller.
Actually, it's Brian called in twice. I heard echo from the other side.
Why don't you go off and try to get Regina in on this?
Okay, not a problem.
And we'll continue. Regina Carroll, our etiquette advocate who
I just wanted to mention one thing before I left. This should also apply to
work.
Why can't I bring my aide to work as well?
Oh, sure.
You know, I should be able to have an aide and be able to work at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, common sense.
Yep.
But there are millions of people all over this country. There's 70 million disabled people in this country. And millions of people are affected by this every single day. Everywhere, somewhere in this country. You know, and it has to be changed. People's safety should be the first priority. And most of these hospital staff people, although some of them may be very caring, just don't know enough. They don't know what to do. They're not specifically trained to do these things. You know.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, one of the things I just tried to convey before, one of the other things they're doing to Suzanne is they're leaving her call bell just about out of reach for her to get to it. So if she does need someone, she has to go hunting for this button that's supposed to be right next to her, but it's hanging down so low she can't feel to find it.
Now, if the aide was there, what would happen?
If the aide
was
there,
she'd have that bell right next to her.
Well, first of all, if the aide was there, she wouldn't need the call bell for the nurse.
True. Unless she needed something that, you know, regarding medical
right.
attention.
But then, of course, the aide could go right to the nursing station and say, listen, can you get the nurse in here? She still wouldn't need the bell.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, darlings. We have Regina.
Ah, Regina
waiting.
Carroll, welcome to our discussion about where's my damn aide? That's the title of this show.
Thank you.
Brian Cruz is on with us, and Joe, and myself, and Suzanne, and we know that you've been through the mill on being in a hospital and having to miss your aid severely, give up your aid, and suffer for it.
Yes, when they're allegedly extremely busy, or they can't take care of your need right away because they do have other patients on the floor, and that's reasonable. But when you need something and you're unable to get it, or you're stuck in one position and you need to be moved because you're in a great deal of pain.
Right.
And you're waiting patiently for them or for your meds or whatever it may be, and you need an extra pair of hands. Or
yeah.
When they forget that you have a disability and they leave your food on the other side of the room.
Yeah. Did you ever try to bring your aid into a hospital at all?
I have on several occasions. Just recently I was allowed to do it, but on several other occasions I wasn't allowed to bring my aid.
Uh-huh.
Like in the emergency room when I really did need them before they decided if I was going to be admitted or not.
That's right. You're allowed to have it there and only there.
In the
yes.
emergency room?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, but then now for how long?
Until you get admitted.
Until you get admitted. Okay, so let's
until
make that clear.
Until you sign the quote paperwork.
So now, does Medicaid pay for that?
No, no. I don't think
no,
so.
No, they don't.
They do. No, they do.
No.
They do?
Until,
they do?
Until you're admitted, you're, it's like going to the doctor. Technically, it's the same thing.
Right. I wasn't sure about that because I was told by my aide that she had to report to the agency, and then they would decide, and I would have to get a family member over. And if I didn't have a family member within a certain time, I was there alone.
So they're paying for part of the emergency room. Why do they stop?
Because you're at the doctor, basically. It's how they look at it.
Exactly, because you're at the doctor and already you're supposed to be well taken care of by the hospital staff.
Yeah.
But you need more help when you're admitted.
You're preaching to the choir here, Frank, but that's not
how
they do it.
Yeah, I know. I'm just making a statement for the public.
That's not how they view it.
Yeah. We mentioned a minute ago to get attention to this subject, the consideration of a major news conference when we can get everyone together where people can tell their horror stories, why this law needs to be changed and needs to be changed very quickly, you know. And Regina, would you consider being a part of that?
Well, of course, you know that, Frank.
All right. So we have the makings of that, and when everyone can be together, you know, we'll find several other people, I'm sure. Off the top of my head, I can think of many people.
I can't.
And I think that's something that we, through Inner Sight, should plan.
If yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to tell everyone, too, that when I was in the nursing home that I was in, subsequent to my hospital stay, I was pretty much able-bodied, able to move around, get around, to the point where everyone that saw me there thought I was a guest visiting. They didn't know, didn't realize that I was a patient in the facility.
You owned the place.
Yeah, throughout my stay.
Yeah,
throughout my stay, I managed to have problems with my leg due to my medical condition, and I couldn't move around so well all of a sudden. But when I first came in, they wanted to do everything in the world for me. The aides would come in, the staff would come
Same
in.
Same with me.
Anything you want, anything I could do for you, they'd be in 100 times a day. Are you okay? You know, you want us to show you where you could find this and that. As soon as I was less mobile, they refused to help me.
Now, here's
the
best one, Frank. This is even
worse.
As soon as I fell off the Hoyer list, now I noticed the big change.
Really?
Things
How
have changed.
Better or worse?
It's like, well, they know that I helped save the woman's arm. So they treat me with respect. However, it's like you never needed the Hoyolist to begin with. And, yeah, it was a whole, you know, nine to even, I didn't need the Hoyer lift, but they gave me the Hoyer lift, but yet I did need the Hoyer lift to keep my legs straight, so it was just a whole confusion. If it was
they don't
just,
know what you need.
They don't.
They really
because
don't.
Because they, they're
and
not
they
trained properly.
That, and they won't let that woman get her arm checked for fear that you're going to sue the damn police.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And you and you should.
Oh, yeah, you should. You should.
We'll take it over as inner sight.
Definitely.
Care facility. That's
you know, I mean, we ought to get a nice donation out of them.
They perceive what you need. It's their perception of what you need, not what you actually need.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
But Gina said a mouthful.
Yeah. Let me remind everyone, Inner Sight around the world, area code 213-816-1650. We're every night live, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 Eastern. On the weekends is the Autistic Programming with Maria. Check that out. Very cool show and a lot of good information. We're on television Monday night, 8:30, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, channel 20.
Isn't it 8:30 both fronts?
No, it's
yeah,
8 o'clock.
Oh.
8 o'clock, 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Wednesday night. And Manhattan Neighborhood Network, channel 57 on Manhattan Neighborhood Network. That's on the Spirit Channel. Channel 3 on the internet, Wednesday night, 11 o'clock around the world. And
we do have Louie. Would you like to take call?
Oh, we have Louie on the
Louie?
Line. We call him Love Drop Louie, everybody.
Love Drops Louie.
Disabled
I don't
guy.
I want to miss Love Drops Louie.
He calls in almost every night. He's
a loyal disabled.
And let's welcome Louie to this round table here on Inner Sight.
All right.
All right, Love Drops Louie.
Hi, guys. Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Frank. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. You got a whole audience here tonight, Lou. So you better
hello,
behave
Frank.
Yourself.
I'll behave all right. Okay. Hello, Frank. Hello, Suzanne. Hello, Joe Arion.
Say hello, Brian.
Yeah,
and
what's today's... O'Brien?
Hi.
Brian and Regina.
Hi, Regina. Hi, Brian. I'm Louis Rivera. I'm a fan of Inner Sight. I watch Frank Perino on Public Access at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. He looks good on TV. He's got a new dog named Windstorm. A nice dog.
Oh, you know
him. My first time met that dog, I feel sorry about Sunrise. He passed away a long time ago. And then I was there since February. I first met Windsong. I brought the conga drums over to the Cablevision. Yeah. And I was doing the imitation of Tony Bennett and an imitation of Al Jolson.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Hey, Lou,
I got
something. I got a question for you.
Okay, give it to me, Frank. Let me hear this.
All right, now everybody be quiet. Are you listening?
You got it.
If a person goes into a hospital and they're disabled in a wheelchair, shouldn't they have their aid with them?
Aid with them? I think, yes, it is.
Yeah, you're right, Louie.
Yeah.
See, even Louie has enough sense to know that. He's
smarter
than the doctors.
That's right.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, really. You really
right.
are.
Right.
You're
you got
sweet.
It right,
Lou. I'm a real cool guest on Inner Sight.
Hey, Louie,
sure
you're
are.
In the prize. You win the
and
prize.
And we love having you.
You
Good
win
man,
the prize
Joe Arion.
Getting the...
Joe.
Louie, Yeah, Louis, you get the prize for getting the question right. You get a free can of cornucopia.
I knew you were going to say that. Cornucopia. With love drops.
Cornucopia. Oh, watch out, turning. Hey, Suzanne, you got to watch out for those love drops. They got to turn Louis on and give him a hug and kiss. Uh-oh.
Well, I didn't tell you what kind of love drops. There's love drops for dogs, you know. I actually found some on the internet.
Better watch out, they're turning me on. Look out.
All right, Lou.
Guys, you're turning me on here.
We only have 3 minutes left, guys.
Yeah. We're going to
turn you off right now.
Yeah, turn me on and off, you know.
On and off. Like a television.
Yeah, on and off. Hey, Buffy says hello to you, Frank.
Oh, hi, Buff.
Yeah,
well,
Buffy.
We could use a person to come in for the show. Would you like to have Buffy with you?
Yes, I know. What's Cornucopia? Let me ask you a question. What is Cornucopia? Is that a company for dog food?
It's the best dog food on the planet.
Give me some Cornucopia. Now I want a Cornucopia. I'll stay with the love drops and the conga drums.
Right. All right, Lou, we got to move on now.
We're going to move on, okay?
So,
hey, guys,
Suzanne,
Frank, and Joe, happy weekend.
Brian and Regina, too. Don't forget them.
What's their names again?
Brian and Regina.
Brian and Regina, have a good weekend. This is Louis Rivera.
You too.
I'm a fan of Inner Side.
You're going to learn more, okay?
Have a good weekend.
Yeah,
you too.
Everyone should have the right to be safe. And if you're disabled and you need that aid, that is your right, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. Even if you're a criminal, you're going to need that aid. You know? And I venture to say that criminals probably have more rights than people who are going into hospitals and nursing homes and rehab places.
I'm quite sure
that's
they
true.
Do.
This must be changed, and we have to do it. You know, and I stand committed to organize a major news conference and invite the politicians. You know, and invite the people who have been through the horror.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what it is because I've never been through it. But I feel for my brothers and sisters.
Right. You could only imagine if you had to go in the hospital and experience something. I could see you sitting, when you say, in the bed, I could see you saying all these things, you know.
Frank would be Archie Bunker.
Yeah, he sure would be.
I'd be on the phone with the news media every single day, giving you a report.
Yes, you would.
I'd be with
to
you.
To get this man out of the hospital.
What I've been many times in the hospital myself.
Oh, yeah.
Without an aid. And I can remember laying there and being uncomfortable, being in pain, can't push the button. And I'm saying to myself, why? Why am I here alone when, you know, my aide would be happy to be here with me? And, you know, I had people went out of their way to come and stay with me and give me some time, my friends, because they wouldn't allow this. But now, if I'm stuck coughing and I don't get assistance, I could die.
Yeah, I've had a similar experience.
Right. You have, and Brian has, and Suzanne is going through it now. Joe has had bad experiences. This is Inner Sight.
I don't
Sight.
Need an aid, and I went through a bad experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Inner Sight means freedom, advocates for the disabled. We thank everyone for calling in. Brian and Big Joe, Regina, Suzanne, we're with you in that rehab place. You better believe it. If they don't straighten that
thank
stuff
you.
Out, we're going to have the news media over there.
Well, I got my mattress. Thanks, Joe.
Well, you're supposed to get a new bed.
Thank you, everyone, for calling in.
Well, that's coming tomorrow.
Oh, good.
And supposed to get an aid, too.
Yeah, well, I already have an open invitation to call this woman back if Suzanne doesn't get the help she needs. said if I
you
right.
came
if
in and that was the same
few,
woman.
All right.
That I told you about.
This
Thank
woman
you, everyone.
Today.
We'll be with you Monday
all
night,
right.
9 o'clock. Monday night. What do you do if you're denied a service dog?
Mm.
Very important. So check it out, Monday night, 9 o'clock, and thank you very much. Inner Sight Means Freedom, advocates for the disabled. Good night, everybody. Goodbye, world. Inner.